This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the USA, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon from London, guys.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, guys.
Well, guys, markets have absolutely soared today, mainly down, I think, to some fairly dovish comments from US President Donald Trump about not only China and Chinese tariffs, but also his attitude towards US Fed Chief Jerome Powell. So, Nick, I believe this is probably good news for markets.
Yeah, Johnny, it's an interesting way the market is behaving in recent times. We had that 90-day pause day and the market ripped 10% in like 30 minutes. It was absolutely astounding, but it only foreshadowed more volatility to come. I mean, before that, there was volatility. After that, it's just we're living in a crazy, crazy volatile market. It almost is like the entire U.S. stock market is behaving like a crypto coin these days. It's just insane to watch. But as you pointed out this morning, we did get some very perceived as positive on the trade negotiation stuff. The idea that the U.S. may look to lower or is considering lowering tariffs on China. Obviously, that's the big uncertainty component here is that we know there is likely to be some sort of a negotiation between Japan and U.S. and Europe and the U.S. and all that. We know there's likely to be, not to say those things will come painlessly, but there will be some progress there. The big question has been, is there going to be any concession on either side from China and the U.S.? So any positive thing, I said earlier on a live stream that I was on, that if you just heard that President Xi and President Trump were going to be on a phone call, regardless of what was said in the phone call, if you just heard that news was coming, if they had a scheduled call, the market would probably be ripping 5% or more. That's, you know, obviously a guess, but it's just the way this market is behaving. It's very concerned. Everybody's uncertain. So these little bits of good news that we're getting are causing some wild swings to the upside and to the downside. So yes, the Chinese tariff concept, basically the idea being that according to the Wall Street Journal, China tariffs likely coming down to between 50% and 65%. And the White House is considering slashing those tariffs to de-escalate trade war. It is a little bit silly, I think, on either side to just assume that there is just a clear winner or a clear loser in the trade war stuff between the United States and China. I think it is a lose-lose-lose. And I mean a lose for the U.S., a lose for China, and a lose for all these countries in between that are getting forced to choose a side. I think that that creates tension. It creates, a backward stepping global economy where we're segmenting off trade. And I don't think that either side really truly wants to see that take place. So we are seeing some concession there. And we do see the NASDAQ, as you mentioned, ripping higher here today at one point up 4% on the day. We'll see if it can hold those gains. Again, based on the way markets have been behaving, it's up one day and then down the next. And very hard to get a read. I do think from a price action perspective for traders who are watching that, investors who are watching that, the NASDAQ 19,200, the S&P 500 around 5,500, those are key levels. Those are big levels of resistance going back to that 90-day pause up day that I mentioned a moment ago. We had those big spikes up and then rejection from that area. Let's see if if bulls are actually able to take back those levels and hold some gains for some material amount of time.
Just following up on what Nick has been saying, I think we're seeing here from the White House, from President Trump, perhaps more of a carrot than a stick that we've seen in the last few days, where the markets were down 4 days straight, the Dow Jones, which was up 1,000 points yesterday. We saw two key developments. As Nick mentioned, President Trump said he had no intention to fire Powell, really 180-degree turn after what he said the previous few days. And the Treasury Secretary also, the U.S. Treasury Secretary also said that the U.S. would de-escalate with China, as you mentioned, with the tariffs. And I think we're seeing some kind of de-escalation, at least in the rhetoric, as far as the U.S. is concerned, which is quite interesting and, I guess, an optimistic note as we see these very erratic market swings.
Yeah, Kenny, one thing that I find to be really interesting in all this craziness that we've seen in recent times is that many people thought that Trump's scorecard in this administration, like his previous, would be the stock market. I would actually say, and I'm not the first to say it, many people are acknowledging that it seems to be the bond vigilantes that are getting Trump's attention. In fact, we see a response in the bond market today that is favorable towards the administration. They seem more interested in getting that 10-year yield down than they care on really getting the stock market to pump higher. And so I think that what this is telling you is that the bond vigilantes are accomplishing their goal of potentially keeping Trump and team in check. I mean, this is a democracy at the end of the day, right? There are powerful forces that are checking the situation to a degree, right? That, as you mentioned, that turn on the stance on Powell very quickly is perceived as a very positive thing for U.S. Treasuries. Because again, if you were to remove Powell or at least threaten to, or if there was infighting about trying to get Powell, that is not a stability look for the U.S. Treasury market, the U.S. Bonds and debt in general. People actually, in recent times, we can see this, have been selling U.S. Treasuries in large and moving into gold. We actually see the reversal of that trade we've been covering on the podcast quite a bit. This monumental, meteoric rise in the price of gold, we actually see it down, guys, 3% on the day. So gold is seeing a pretty substantial move in the opposite direction. Meanwhile, bonds are up. So we're seeing a little bit of a re-entry of the U.S. trade, right? So we're seeing the U.S. stock market up and U.S. treasuries gaining a little bit of their footing after the recent sell-off we've been seeing.
Just to follow up on that, Nick, I've been the U.S. dollar in the last several days has been down quite sharply against a lot of the major currencies, against the yen, against the pound, the euro. And interestingly enough, at the same time that the stock market was going down, the dollar was also going down. And it seems that what Trump had said about Powell was really unnerving the markets and eroding confidence in the entire U.S. financial system. I mean, we saw some very dramatic headlines about that. So hopefully that these new steps will perhaps diminish those fears about confidence in the U.S. financial system.
And Kenny, yesterday, the International Monetary Fund lowered its global outlook predictions for the world economy, and actually mentioned the UK economy as well, which I'm going to ask you about. But these were a lot lower than they had been. And I note that they've said that as far as the UK is concerned, they're expecting three more interest rate drops over the next few months.
That's correct, Johnny. The IMF did cut its global growth forecast to just 2.8%. And if we can recall that in January it was 3.3%, so quite a bit higher. This is actually the second lowest reading since 2009. So we're looking at really a sharp cut. And I think the IMF we can look as really as an alarm or a warning that the global trade war that we see developing almost daily will put Europe, the UK, and even the US at a risk of recession. And as you mentioned, the idea of the Bank of England has to look at perhaps three rate cuts. They're still grappling with inflation, but it seems that perhaps the difficulties in the economy and the risks to the economy are outweighing what we're seeing as far as inflation. As I was preparing for today's meeting, I saw that there really wasn't a lot of key economic data. It's a bit of a light calendar this week, but something that did catch my attention was that Germany, France, and the Eurozone all released their PMIs, which are basically like report cards for the service and manufacturing industries. And what caught my eye is that in April, every single one of those was under 50. That means every single one was showing contraction. Germany, France, Euro, all these services and manufacturing indicators are showing decline. Actually, the U.S. came out today with their services and manufacturing PMIs, which were a bit better, a bit over 50, so some slight growth there. But in Europe and the U.K., it's all pointing below 50, and I think that fits in nicely with what the IMF was saying, that we're seeing these figures as a result of the uncertainties and the fears of the of a global trade war. And if this continues, we mentioned before that hopefully things are changing a little bit with President Trump's rhetoric. But if the global war trade does continue, there's a very real risk of recession, especially in the UK and in the Eurozone.
And finally, Nick, a word about Tesla. Some pretty awful numbers on Tesla earnings.
Yeah. And so, I mean, to add to that, Johnny, yes, they were terrible numbers, but we have to really just outline how bad they actually were, because they were already bad expectations, right? People, as you just mentioned, they were expected to be bad. Well, they came in even worse than that, right? So we really had some pretty terrible revenue and income numbers from Tesla. All that to say, the stock is up almost 6% today, which is the thrills of the stock market, right? That's the, it can be a, throw people for a loop. The reason there is because Elon Musk reiterated that it does seem like they have plans to go forward with some robo-taxi stuff being pushed out in June, I believe. So you're getting some progress there. And this is the story with Tesla. It's why it's such a controversial and dramatic stock, is because if you were pricing this purely off of being a car company, stock would probably not be up today. But many investors hold a lot of hope for Tesla's future in the form of their robotics efforts and the energy side of their company and the robo-taxi side, which clearly got the attention of people. And not to mention, you know, expectations were very low for Tesla going into this. And clearly they missed even the worst scenario to a degree in terms of their car report. But again, it just goes to show this company has a very strong following that is interested in the other areas of growth that potentially are coming in the future. So it continues to be a story stock. It makes headlines every day for that reason, because again, the price to earnings, if you look at that, they're head spinningly high. But there's this idea that, okay, well, if they launch robo-taxis and start to take market share in that world, and they have all the infrastructure and all the products for that, could be a really interesting thing. I'm pulling this up now as we speak. We also see Uber kind of having a slight move higher on today, of course, with everything else, but significantly underperforming the rest of the market. Perhaps just that uncertainty about robo-taxis from Tesla, could that materially weaken their business model at all? Continues to be an interesting story.
Yeah, it's all very interesting stuff. Thank you very much, guys. Nick, Kenny, we'll speak to you very soon.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.